Luke chapter number 22, I'll start reading in verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan. You know, the Lord didn't have to stop and tell Simon who Satan was. Simon knew who he had served. I don't have to stop and tell you who the devil is. You know who he is. And he ain't worth us spending 45 minutes of God's good time to dwell on him, Brother Allen. But a warning comes to keep us from being entrapped by his devices. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Father, I pray that you'd help me. God, you know, Lord, I'm a pitiful, pitiful excuse for what I'm fixing to be doing. But Lord, it was your call. And I thank you for calling me. And I pray, God, now that if you will, you'll touch my lips, as David said in Psalm 51. Open my lips. God, help me. And God, open the hearts of the people. And God, may they hear with an ear that could change their lives forever today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you can be seated. Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited about this afternoon because I love to eat. Is there anybody else here that loves, Brother Jeff, thank you, that loves to eat? Wow. Wow. Amen, son. Me and you friends. We love to eat. And I like going places where you can eat food that you've never had before. We was in a restaurant this past week. I guess you'd call it kind of a little Bay Area. We're just down in Daytona. We was in Daytona. And it crossed over. Maybe it's the river. I don't know what they call it. But a little inlet there. And there was a restaurant right on the water. I mean it's so close to the water. You could literally just drive your boat right up to the dock, get out, and walk inside the restaurant. Not even 20, 30 feet away. And there's no windows, and it was hot, and you got to be real hungry to enjoy eating when there's no air conditioning and it's hot. But we enjoyed it. And I didn't know. Anybody ever went someplace and done something you ought not be doing, but you didn't know it was wrong? And all these birds is coming in because these birds know that these folk that don't live there come from out of town. Just to feed them. Well, they got a daily diet too. And so I'm thinking on the river, I'm thinking right there on the river, we're going to have fresh shrimp like you've never seen in your life. Just, I mean, beautiful, clean, they're not even dark, almost invisible, because the water on the beach in Daytona is almost as clear as it can be. You can walk out at least 6 inches deep and still see your feet. And, well, you can't do that just across the river over here, all right? Well, we're kind of spoiled at that. Fernandina is just the opposite. And I'm thinking the fish, Brother Dustin, the fish should be so clean and the shrimp should be so clean. and the fish was breaded, and the shrimp was breaded. And I said, they must have bought these from St. Mary's. I don't know. Cracker Barrel, come same place. These birds kept coming up there, and so I've got my little saltine crackers that I'm crumbling up, and I'm just throwing them out there to the birds. Man, they're getting closer and closer, and finally the lady comes up and said, "Don't feed the birds, don't feed the birds." I said, "You can't feed the birds." She said, "No, don't feed the birds." I says, "Why?" She said, "They'll get aggressive." Now, the only person that I really know that would have bothered that real bad would have been Jesse Craigle. Brother Jesse, he's very afraid of birds. You could sound like a bird around him and he'll want ducks and everything. But she gave me a warning that these birds would become aggressive. She said, they'll jump up on your table and take the food off your plate. I'm thinking, not on this day, I'm thinking. I might go to jail for animal abuse, but I'm fixing to backhand one of these. Y'all know what I'm saying. I'm paying a lot of money for this piece of breaded shrimp right here. But Jeremy, you've been shocked to see what I paid for that meal, knowing that I could have bought it at Sam's in the frozen section. And told my wife, I said, "That's some mighty good clam chowder. Tastes like something I got that's made by Campbell." And I'm not being critical. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm just trying to get over the bird thing. And I wasn't going to give it to them, Brother Chris. They'd had to fight for that. One had to peck me in the eye. And I'd have went down fighting for it, though, I'm telling you. But the Lord has come to Simon. And this warning is not just for Simon, but it's for all the disciples. But Simon and the Lord are very close. If you've ever read in your Bible, you'll notice that a lot of places the Lord went, He had Peter there with Him. On the Mount of Transfiguration, He took Peter. He took Peter with Him so many times that even when it come time for the trial, Peter just followed. You said, but he followed from a great ways off. But he was following. Can I say this? Sometimes your Christian journey, you might get a little bit reluctant. Are you listening? A little bit negligent. A little bit wearisome. A little tired. And you may not have the Christian get up and go. You know, may not have the enthusiasm. You may not have the zeal that you once had when you got saved. But if you'll just keep following, one day you're going to walk into the house of God and God's going to move in a way that you hadn't seen in a long time. That's not to say that He's moving in a different way that day. It's just in a way that you hadn't seen in a long time. Last Sunday, we could have worshipped. But if you wasn't here, you wouldn't have known about it. This morning in Sunday school, I'm not going to say we worshipped, but I'm going to say we came mighty close. I mean mighty close, Brother Gary. We had some folks who was interested in praising Him this morning. I believe everybody gets on the same train, we'll be going the same direction. I believe everybody gets in one accord and like-minded in faith. And like the disciples when they were in the upper room in one accord, Jesus will show up. I think a little bit of hesitation. One man with his foot on the gas and another man with his foot on the brake is hindering the going forward. So I like the fact that the Lord will warn us and let us know sometime that there's some things that we need to be aware of. Too many times, our desire to worship is more fleshly than anything. See how quiet you got right there? You know why? Because I'm right. Many churches this morning will consider themselves worshiping God, and probably nothing more than the flesh. I mean, anybody shout. I used to shout for the Boston Celtics. I said I used to. Help me, Mr. Leo. Back whenever Kevin McHale was there. Larry Bird. Danny Ames. Don't make me name the whole team. Go ahead and get in here with me and let's amen me a little bit. Whenever they was playing, they was a team worthy of egging on. I'm not talking about worshiping them. I ain't talking about praising them. I'm talking about just egging them on. I loved it when they played the Los Angeles Lakers and beat the socks off of them. Amen. I loved it when they played the Philadelphia 76ers. Beat the socks off of them. Amen. So who was this team? That was the best they ever was. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. It's the best they ever was. You got to go back and look at them. In history, your school system should be teaching who the Boston Celtics were in the greatest days of their career. Did anybody learn about them in school? Thank you, brother. God bless you. Thank you, sister. Amen. Amen. Well, they're from up around that way. That's why they taught that. My wife said when she was in school in Texas, they taught Texas history. You're from the New England states, you learn about the Boston Celtics. Amen. And so the Lord is trying to warn Simon. Simon, listen to me. Simon, we're living in an hour when there's very little warning going out to Christians. Can I tell you this morning, whether you will agree with this or not, this very day, you could be sitting here right now saying, Brother Edward, I'm coming back tonight. I promise you, as sure as y'all have church, I'm going to be here. You could have that mindset, and somewhere through the course of the day, the devil could come by and something could happen and you'd change your mind and you'd quit on God. It's just a temporary quit. It's not a permanent quit. You just quit on Sunday afternoon. And hopefully by next Wednesday, you'll be back on the firing line. Amen. But for just a little while, the devil would persuade you to throw the towel in, to give up on God, to walk away from the church, to say, I'm done with it. That's a bunch of hypocrites down there. But there he is. Don't be disturbed with that, okay? Don't be disturbed. A bunch of Pharisees down there. There he is. Don't be nervous about all that. We've all been going to church together for a long time. I've forgiven you. You've forgiven me being a preacher. Okay. And there's a lot of things that we've overlooked in the Christian life that needed to be warned about, but nobody would stand up and say, hey, Simon! Simon. He could have easily said this, Brother Alex. He could have said, Simon! I'm telling you now, keep your eyes on Judas. You better watch him. He's going to betray me. And if you aren't careful, Simon, he'll make you sway that way. Well, he didn't do that. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan. He went right to the root of the problem. You know, we don't do that. I know why some of y'all don't come to church all the time. You come sometime, but you don't come all the time. I mean, you'd like to be a 52-week-a-year Christian. you'd really like to be here three times a week, 52 weeks a year. In your heart, you desire to walk with God and be close to the Lord, but I've offended you. I know I have. I've offended you. So how do you know? Because you told people. That preacher made me mad. He has offended me. All he preaches on is bringing water. That was the best thing I heard in a long time. You said, surely nobody got offended about bringing water. No, they was kidding about it, but I thought it was a treasure. Because that way I can say, I offended someone for preaching on bringing water instead of telling the truth and saying, I offended someone of when I preached on tithing. Thank you, Brother Darnell, and thank you, Brother Dan. Or if I'd have preached the truth and said, you love ball games more than you do God. I mean, Alabama ain't going to take you to heaven, Brother Gary. I was talking to Brother Gary and Brother Allen went to crying. I'm telling you, we better be warned about the devices that the devil comes and brings his way. Because if you and I don't watch out, he'll get us the same way. He'll get me. I told Faith this morning, just this morning, I said, hey, just as eating. No, last night we were talking about a situation. I said, it wasn't nobody in here, so don't get nervous. A situation, I said, just as easy as the devil got them, he can get me and he can get her. And if you think he can't get you for just 1 minute, listen, friend, he's got less. In 24 hours, he could have you being a meth addict. By the end of the week, you wouldn't have a tooth in your head. You pull every one of them just to entertain somebody for $5. That's what they do. They'll be rotted out and you wouldn't have. I'm just saying, he went right straight to the main one on the board, if you will. Peter was the one that God used and worked with more than any other disciple. And he went to him and he said, Simon, listen to me. Simon, listen to me. He said, Satan hath desired to have me. I know, I'm making you nervous because it got a little bit louder than what you used to. You see, them TV preachers, they've ruined it for old-time preaching. They've ruined it for old-time preaching. And you listen to me? How'd they do it? Well, first thing, they quit preaching. They got them a plastic see-through pulpit. Praise God, I'm nervous about that stuff. I'm liable to get up there and I didn't dress well. I didn't do everything I should have done. Y'all laugh at me, but you ain't the one to be standing up here. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Too many times I've sat here and watched my wife. She's going. And I'm going, what? That ain't good to do. Oh, God. Help us, Lord. If it ain't happened, it will. I promise you. That's why I've got about 4 big mirrors in my office. Before I walk out, I'm looking at me, making sure me's okay. Help me, Dennis. You know what I'm talking about. He said, the devil, he's after you. And here's what he wants to do. I'm thinking, in my mind, just with my simple vocabulary, with my small ability, my minimal word definition. He used the word sift. Well, I can go back watching my mama, watching my granny take flour and put in a sifter. Now, there's a handle on the side of that sifter that you could crank it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know my granny never did use that handle? She just filled that thing up flour and just sit there and shake it. So, in this sifter, either there's a turbulence going on. Let me use a different word. In this sifter, there's a turmoil going on. Or you just being shaken so much that you don't know where you at. Have you ever been, has anybody in here ever been to a, we used to have, when we lived in Callahan, they used to have a fair. Do they still have the fair over there? Right down from your house down there. I went over there one year and they had a man inside of a wooden arena, so to speak, riding a motorcycle. All right? He starts out at the bottom. I know you've seen this. They start out at the bottom just kind of in a circle, and then it kind of banks up a little bit. And before it's over, he's riding that motorcycle around the walls sideways. How many of you have ever seen what I'm talking about? There's a bunch of you. Where have they all been? Well, maybe that's a whole different generation that I'm talking to right now, right? You had to be at least 55 or 60-something. Amen. You've seen it? God bless you, son. Get on up here and sit with me. Help me out. Let me ask you. If you was on a motorcycle, and I like to ride, and I've got one, and it's for sale, if you're interested. No, but anyway. But if you like to ride just down the road, that's one thing. Because you're just going the direction of the highway. But if you get on one that in an area that's not even 12 or 16 feet across, and you're making about 40 or 50 miles an hour inside that, your brain is having issues. You're dizzied, confused, like being sifted. The Lord says, Simon, He's desired to have you. First off, He wanted him for Himself. If he belonged to Him, if he could get a hold of Him, he could do with Him as he pleased. He said his desire would be to sift him. Could I get a volunteer? Come here. You're kind of a big one to sift, but I'm gonna sift you. Okay? All right, now if you resist, I'm gonna do you like the Lord done the devil and he slapped him. Have you ever read that in the Bible? What part of the Bible did you read that in? Don't say nothing, because it ain't in the Bible. But when the devil gets his hand on you, it starts out just, hey, friend. And when he gets you away from these folks, because they're Christians and you don't need to be around them, and the things that I can bring into your life, you'll enjoy so much more than... Look at them. All four of them look bored. Do they look bored to you? Thank you. We're going to have to wake one of them up. That's how bored they are. They all look at me. Which one's asleep? It's not the two youngest ones. Okay, the smallest ones. It's neither one of them. Okay, John Owen. Safe place to rest is in the church house. And once you leave there because you was at church, because you was listening to stories in the Bible because you was getting direction from heaven, because you was hearing from God. And now you're thinking, wow, I thought it was not right to get out and go, and I thought it wasn't right to miss church. I thought it was wrong to get involved in sin. I thought it was wrong to lie. And you want me to say, but I was sick on Sunday, and I thought, and the whole time, he's confusing him. The whole time, he's making his mind alter. The whole time, he don't know. He don't even know where he's supposed to be sitting at. He forgot he was on the front row of church. Now he wants to go to the bathroom. So how do you know? Because some kids comes to church in here that goes to the bathroom sometimes 3 times in one service. I've come to church before. You say you're older. I've come to church before, and I forgot. I want to get started. I need to use the bathroom before we get started. Oops, too late. Singing's already started. Are you with me? You will stay up here. You'll sit up. What are you doing? Is it? You're a good one. You're a good one. I love you, buddy. Thank you. When he gets done sifting you, you won't know whether you're coming or going. When he gets done sifting you, that good stuff that was in you, he has drained you of it. Remember whenever you wake up every morning and you had a song on your heart and you just want to say thank you, Lord? Remember when you woke up every morning and you could not wait just to, I don't care if you had to have your coffee first. That's okay, I guess, I think. I do. I make my coffee first. Then I sit down. Then I say, Lord, that sure was a good night's sleep you gave me last night. But I sure wish you'd help my wife with that snoring problem she got. Any men in here got any guts to you? Want to say, amen. God bless you, fellas. Amen. Amen. Took a while, but I had to put you on the line right there, didn't I? Had to get you and sift you a little bit, didn't I? Amen. I mean, just say, Lord, that was a blessing to lay down in a bed last night. I didn't sleep on the sidewalk. I didn't have to sleep in the car. I didn't sleep off the edge of the woods over here. Who was up here with me was working on the building over here? Brother Jeff, was that you up here? And that boy, him and his girlfriend, was sleeping. They were staying in the woods right over here across the road. You know, wasn't that? They'd been staying there for a while. He was riding a bicycle with a motor. You know what I'm talking about? And because that thing would make 92 miles an hour, bicycles ain't made for 92 miles an hour. And he runs down here at the end of the road, and like most good Americans, because of Barnes and Nobles, he runs out in front of a car and goes, and they say, like, are you okay? He says, yeah, hand me your cell phone. Y'all know the rest of the story. It's always everybody else's fault. You know whose fault it is that you and I get sifted? It's our fault. We've been warned. Fairly warned. Warned. You know what he'll do to young people? He's all for young people coming to church. He just don't want none of them to pay attention. He don't mind nobody going to church. Hey, come on to church. Sing the songs. Shout the victory. Get involved. Give me your money. Support the missionaries. But don't get saved. As long as you're not saved, he's still got you. you've not given your heart to Christ. You're still headed to hell. Say, that hurts, Brother Edward. That hurts. I know. And you know what Paul told Timothy? He said, know this also, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And he forewarns Timothy about the opinions and the ideas of mankind. Men should become lovers of their own selves. It's about me. It's about him. So he warns him. He says, do this, Timothy. Preach the word. Preach the word. Tell them. Warn them. Let them know. You need to be at church. You need to be involved. You need to give your heart to God. Amen. You need to say, Lord, put me on your side. I want to be a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus. He said, Simon, we need to talk. He said, you ain't the only one. There's others he's after. There's people in this room that I pray this little fellow right here never has to walk down their footsteps. There's people in this room that I pray this young man right here never has to go in the places that they went. You know, we need to quit acting like we've arrived. Just be honest with God. When we need to get something right, just get something right. When we got sin in the camp, go ahead and say, Lord, we got sin in the camp. Amen. Don't bury it up under the cot. Let's go ahead and say we got sin in the camp. And there's folk in this room. I pray this young man never has to go and do what they've done. And likewise. I pray for your children that they never, ever have to go to the places and do the things. But we don't understand it. We're living in an hour when there's no teaching. I told Brother Tracy, there's a generation that has dropped the ball. They have quit. They quit for some reason. I don't know why. Listen to me, fathers. There's a generation that dropped the ball. My dad said, you're going to work, boy. He told me this. He said, I don't care if you have to work with your hands and work with your back. We're living in an hour now. Everybody said, oh, I'm not going to do one of them back-breaking jobs. Oh, we'd probably hit you a whole lot. A good shovel, a good axe, amen, will change your life forever. Amen. A dull shovel, amen. Hey, a load of dirt that's got to be spread, a square point shovel, a wheelbarrow, amen, just spread it out there and let the grass grow. We're living in an hour when there's fathers that do not know how to make the children get off of a video game and get out of the house and get out of the house and get out of the house and do something. Just do something. Amen. Amen. Send them to Brother Andrew's house. He's got a bunch of goats. Make them clean the goat pen. Brother Andrew wouldn't mind them. Would you mind them doing that, brother? The goat's going to eat all the bushes. Just make them go up there and clean the chicken pen. Amen. Just get you some sawdust and let them volunteer to go out there and spread sawdust in the chicken pen. That'd make it easy on Sister Tiffany when she had to go pick up the eggs. Because I know them boys ain't going to do it. God bless you. She wouldn't say nothing, but you threw her under the bus. Amen, brother. Amen. He said he's right. He's right. Have mercy on you. Have mercy on you. Have mercy on me. That we should be warned about the days to come. And the Lord Jesus Christ Himself standing up saying, Satan, I want you to know Satan, the main one. Why do you think people was out there on that road last night looking for one more rock of crack cocaine? Why do you think people was riding up down that road last night begging people all over this town right here for $5 or $10 just trying to get them a little bit of meth, just for a little bit of high? Why do you think people's doing what they're doing, robbing stores and shooting people and stabbing people and killing people and doing what they're doing? I'm telling you why, because Satan. He's been sifting. We overlook all the stuff. We preach on crack. We preach on liquor. We preach on meth. We forget about that big little pill bottle you got from the doctor down there. We forget about that easy to get. Forget about them Percocets. Huh? Help me out with some of that stuff, huh? I'm telling you, that pain pills will change your life and have you hooked up. I'm telling you, you'll never be the same. Your life will never be no good for nothing. But I'm here to warn you this morning. Get away. Run the other way. Get to the church house. When you say, I tell you I'd like to go, but it's Sunday, I can't go on Sunday. I gotta be there. I gotta shout the preacher off. I gotta shout the singers off. The Sunday school teacher might say something. I need to hear it. I'm saying the devil's sift is all different, and when he gets done sifting, there ain't nothing left inside. Well, you're gonna leave here this morning. Now, I don't like a hollering type preaching. Somebody told me I invited them to church about 2 weeks ago. Two people standing there. One had been here, the other one had not. They said, oh, you'd like it down there. That's one of them hellfire and brimstone preachers. Ain't neither one of them come yet. I don't know what that means. You'll like it down there. I don't know what that means. Unless a strong case of sarcasm, maybe. I don't know. But I've heard too many people, you listen to me, I'm done. Come to the piano. I've heard too many people say this. When I get in hell, we're going to have a big party, me and my friends. I've heard too many people say, anybody else ever heard that? Why don't you go ahead and start the party now? Say, how would you start it now? Find you a good gas stove. At least a two burner. If you got four of y'all that feel like that, a four burner would help. Turn them burners on. And just let everybody stick their hand in one of them flames. See how much fellowship y'all have. You know what's happened? People quit being warned. Satan wants to downsize what church really is. Nothing more important in your life. Nothing more important in your life. Nothing more important in your life. Nothing more important in your life than serving God. Say, I'm just not one of them kind of people. You ain't got to tell me. You ain't got to tell me. You stood up here and you seen them too. You preached Wednesday night, you seen them too. Brother Dan, you've seen those looks. Oh, that works for y'all. That don't work for me. Hell won't work for you neither, friend. I'm going to say that again. It didn't go nowhere. I don't know what happened. Hell won't work for you neither. It's a place where the worm dies not in the fire. Is not. That means it ain't going out. It ain't going down. I'm trying to warn. The Lord warned Simon. Let me ask you this here. Brother Danny, you've got three precious babies. Y'all got a precious little boy. Y'all got two girls. You got two girls. You got three. Y'all got two. Y'all got three? Y'all got 10? I forgot the track. You know what that boy's going to love? He's going to love what y'all love. And whatever you put the emphasis on, he's going that direction. If it ain't God, he's going to pay. But so are y'all. I'm not going to raise my children to try to be a congressman or a senator or a president or political figure. I'm not going to try to raise them to be a sports figure. They don't know whether to stand when the national anthem is sung or whether to kneel. I know how to stop that. This is America. This past Tuesday, while I was resting all day, I laid up in the hotel room and I just rested. Man, it felt good, just resting. I got out of the bed to go look over my little snack basket. Give me some more M&Ms. Bugles. We eat one meal a day. We go have lunch. You know how it is, you're on vacation. And then the rest of the day we ate junk. Are you with me? Hershey's with almonds. Woo! Y'all feel something right there? Yeah, I know you guys had it. Nobody else knew it, but I did. Mounds. Oh, I could eat a pack of Mounds bars for supper. I watched while they went over again and again and again and again. People that hate our country, that hijacked airplanes. I watched over and over. I told her, this ain't making sense. I don't know what happened. Went there and it crumbled at the bottom. I read and I read and I read and I've read. And what you saw is what happened. We might not explain it, but I tell you what I saw. I saw firemen standing there and all. I saw policemen standing there just. You got to be of a certain age. Go with me right here. I watched Dan Rathers on the David Letterman show. And he's telling about what he saw. And he broke down and went to crying. He said, this is our country. And I watch people that has been lifted up, you hear me, by nothing more than people that's trying to make money off of them. That's all they want. Nike, I wouldn't buy nothing. You say, you preacher, you can't tell me what to buy. You buy whatever you want to. You can go out of here and we'll buy you a joint. I don't care. I wouldn't buy nothing made by Nike if I had to go barefooted for the rest of my life. Innocent people died and people run and cried and screamed for their life. And people that knew they was fixing to die, one fireman called his wife and said, I'm fixing to go in the building. I just wanted to call and let you know that I love you and I love them kids. He was signing off, brother. He was letting them know this is it. I'm trying to warn you today that the devil wants to sear your heart and make heaven not real and make hell not real. But I'm telling you, it's a real place. It's a real place. It's a real place. And if you're not saved, you're going to end up down there. And you fathers better raise your children for God. And you better keep them in the house of God. You better keep them in the Word of God. More kids know statistics about sports in this hour than they do which book comes after which book in the Bible. Am I telling it right? I'm trying to warn you. And I sat there and I told her, I said, this is hard for me to watch. It's hard for me to believe. And my mind went back further than that, Brother Jeff. Not just two big tall towers. Sister Mary, you've been up there on them. David. But war after war. You don't know it, A lot of you don't know it. Albert Taylor spent here on this front row. Albert Taylor spent a portion of his life in Vietnam, and his nerves was just shot. Brother Leroy, I don't know how y'all handled it. I'm telling you, God's got to do a work of grace in your heart, and I know He's able to do it. But I'm telling you, I watched that man sit right there and be a nervous wreck, but you let somebody pick up a red, white, and blue and lay it back forth, and Brother Albert want to stand up. And I'm telling you, this country has went down, 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 so a man can walk out on a field. I don't know his name. Don't come up to me after church and try to tell me, because I don't care, because he ain't no count. And in the place of standing and honoring a flag that represents our country, he'd kneel. You don't want to know what I'd say. I remember John F. Kennedy. I know how he left this world. You don't want to know what I think. I'm just human. I can't help it. Donnell Robinson stands on the street corner in front of Hardee's and preaches the gospel because people have died. A man in Walmart one day, I thanked him. He had a Korean hat on. A man was standing there and had a Korean War hat on. I said, "Thank you, sir, for what you done. Thank you." He said, "If I hadn't done what I've done, you'd have been speaking Japanese today." That's what he said. I said, "Well, I want to thank you." I'm telling you, the devil sits in this country and nobody cares no more. What about your kids? Who cares for them? You say, let them be their self. Let them go to hell is what you're trying to say. Let them make their own decision. You say, let them go to hell is what you're saying. Child lifts himself and brings mother shame. Let's all stand together. Has he sifted you? Has he sifted you? Did he get you? Why don't you come tell him, you're done with me. You're done with me. I'm going back to God. I'm going back to the Lord. I'm going to give him everything that I gave him before. You just took a little bit away. I'm giving it all back to him. I'm going to start walking with him again. I'm going to start singing for him again. Start shouting for him again. Why don't you do that this morning? Maybe you're here and you're not even saved. Can I tell you, friend, the Lord Jesus loves you. He loves you. Jesus Christ did not die on the old rugged cross just so that you could stand by and watch you die in a sinner's hell. But He died on that cross that you could have life and have life more abundantly. Hey, young people, why don't you this morning, why don't you make up your mind, your priority. Hey, mamas and daddies, why don't you this morning make up your mind, my priority is going to be serving God and raising my children for God, and nothing will come above that. Why don't we do that this morning? Why don't we do that?